From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe. A mighty robot, loved by good, feared by evil. As Voltron's legends grew, peace settled across the galaxy. On planet Earth, a galaxy alliance was formed. Together with the good planets of the solar system, they maintained peace throughout the universe until a new, horrible menace threatened the galaxy. Voltron was needed once more. This is the story of the super force of space explorers, specially trained and sent by the Alliance to bring back Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
And we're not actually going to be watching that. Instead, we're going to be watching babies die and people being eaten, and also babies being sliced in half, other people being eaten, slaves getting cut in half, slaves getting bitten in half. Oh, and the entire human race is going to die. Welcome to Golion!
Yes, this week on the 5-Point Podcast, we're happy to inaugurate Mecha Month for all of April, except for last week's April Fool's special.
Yeah!
April Fool's on us.
Hate you, Chowtap!
This month we'll be looking at nothing but various mecha anime. And to start things off, we're looking at Beast King Golion, the show that became Voltron Defenders of the Universe.
Somehow.
So, just a quick explanation of who we are and what we do. I'm Bobcat.
I'm Burke.
And here at the 5-Point Podcast, we look at the first three episodes of an anime based on five different points. First impressions, plot, characters, presentation, and final thoughts.
And we have a super special sixth point for this review.
Yes, point six. Adaptation.
No, comparison.
Yeah, whatever.
Sometimes a work has another work that is either the inspiration or something that was created from it. This is not going to be coming up very often, only when we're actually well-versed in both, sort of. As well-versed as we ever are.
Right.
We're often not. But, in this case, we'll be comparing Golion with Voltron. So we'll be saving all those comparisons for the end of the review.
Although, we might not be able to avoid comparisons in point one, first impressions.
Giant robot lions form giant robot, kills people, saves the universe. I'll be honest, I didn't grow up with Voltron. I was not a child of the 80s. I was born in the early 90s. In fact, 1 year into the 90s. 1890s, but that's besides the point. I didn't have any. I was kind of interested, though, because it was an 80s anime, and I rarely watched those. Yours, Bobcat, who I continuously interrupt?
I had a view of it just because I watched a little bit of it when I was very young, and then I watched more of it on Cartoon Network back when it used to be on Toonami, and so I was interested in this just to see how different it was. I was somewhat hopeful, though I remembered trying to watch it on Adult Swim a few years back and finding it unwatchable due to the stupid voices and bad animation.
We'll get to that a little bit later, but not in
this. But I had never been exposed to the Japanese version before, and I saw it there on Crunchyroll for free, and I thought, why not?
Which brings us to point number two.
Story.
Can I do this opening narration since you did the last one?
Oh, sure, go ahead.
In a world where chaos rules supreme and darkness and violence is the rule of the land, there is one machine that stands above them all, a living behemoth of power and destruction. Golion! Berserk and lost without a cause. He sought the most ultimate foe and found it in God. Not like, you know, he found Jesus or anything. He tried to kill God! And then God just kind of looked at him and said, really? You're trying to kill me? You're a bunch of lying robots? Glued together.
held together with duct tape. Baling wire.
Why are you... No, seriously, you just... Okay, go... go to that planet. Five idiots are going to be piloting you now. Have fun!
Yeah, so the story starts with the giant robot Golion trying to attack the goddess of the universe, and for his hubris, being split into five. Thousands of years later...
And imprisoned on a planet to be piloted by idiots. Thousands of years later, we meet those idiots.
Yes, although I should note, Go Lion is the title character. It's a giant robot show, obviously meant to sell giant robot toys and to appeal to people who enjoy giant robots. But Go Lion appears at the start of episode 1 and then doesn't appear again until episode 4 outside of flashbacks and themes.
And only briefly, like at the very end, for 2 minutes. This is not a show meant to sell toys. I'm sorry.
All right, so thousands of years later, Earth is dead.
Yeah.
It was the year 1990-something. The Russians and Americans went at it. All of humanity was dead. The last 5 humans are 5 space explorers who were off-planet at the time, but didn't get any sort of radio message.
Pretty much, they just come back and say, you know?
Oh my god, the planet's been nuked to oblivion!
Yeah, everyone's dead. Oh, look, alien slavers. Oh god, how could this get any worse? And then they were taken as slaves.
They were taken by the Galra Empire.
Arr!
The Galra Empire is like Rome, Arr! Only made of even more evil. Or rather, yeah, Rome had good parts to it, Galra does not.
Pretty much, because in Rome, you didn't make a stew out of the recently dead slaves. You made meatloaf.
You might make the slave make you the meatloaf, but the slave itself was not the meatloaf.
No, you make slave meatloaf. It hides the bones.
So on planet Galra, you have a bunch of evil sort of, I want to say demonic looking dudes.
Lizard-like.
Lizard demon bat people.
Yeah. They have frilly heads and black scales, and they're very obviously evil, though. I'll save it for animation.
So, the Galrans capture people, and they make them fight in gladiator matches against super robots. If they manage to beat the super robots, they become super robots themselves.
Well, it's not really super robots. It's more like super mutation cyborg things.
Black beasts, or whatever they called them in the dub, in the subtitles, I can't remember.
Black death beasts, because, you know, black beasts and death beasts, those alone, those aren't, you know, dangerous enough. Those aren't insidious enough. Black death beasts. That way you can be racist as well as redundant.
People are being sent in with swords and spears against these things, and I would give any of these things decent odds against the Hulk.
Pretty much.
If you beat one, you become the new Black Death Beast. If you lose, you feed the existing Black Death Beasts, who I hope aren't still their old personalities under there, being forced to feed and devour slaves.
Wouldn't be too good for them. And we do briefly see a scene of them actually hitting the Black Death Beast with the sword and spears. Quite frankly, I have to wonder who the crap can kill one of these things.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if the superpowers they demonstrate later are something they were born with already, before they became Black Death Beasts.
It would explain our main characters, speaking of which, they're rotting in a cell.
Yes, now normally at this point we'd say who they are, but a little spoiler alert for point three characters. None of these characters are particularly deep. If we were to give their names and personalities right now, that would exhaust the entirety of the characters.
Oh, not entirely, but outside another few senses, yeah.
It would make point three entirely redundant. We have the 5 human explorers, who are all sort of the same person, with a few minor variations, but they're all sort of the 80s fired-up type of person.
Oh, one of them's not all that fired-up, he's just a little brat I want to see get killed.
True, but even he's fired-up as far as little kids go.
Seriously, is he just a midget or something?
I don't know.
We'll cover that in characters.
So the 5 of them decide to escape, because, hey, you know what? Earth's dead. Their best hope is to beat the Black Death Beasts and then become Black Death Beasts. Who wouldn't try to escape under those circumstances?
Their exact words are, we're dead anyway, so might as well.
So they break out, they grab some space vultures in a sort of Yor's World, Here's the Man type moment. They glide down, and they steal one of the alien spaceships and fly off.
And get immediately blasted down into an alien world.
They then come across a spooky castle, which is guarded by a spooky man, and a not entirely spooky princess.
And a mysteriously growling statue of a lion with a wing.
Also, there are mice. Space mice.
Yes, space mice. They dance and show their butts. That's their entire character. We're not bringing them up again!
They do a dedicated can-can. to amuse the princess.
We're not bringing them up again. Right then, they get informed that they are the pilots of Voltron because they just sort of wandered into the room.
Was there some sort of prophecy?
No. As far as these yokels know, the lions just sort of got put on their planet by God.
And they've never... Wait, didn't they use them briefly?
I don't think so. If it did, then it wasn't very clear. Though the yokels do have the keys. Specifically, the dead father of the princess, who is also alive, despite being dead.
Also, we should mention that, of course they were destroyed by the Galra Empire. Why wouldn't they be destroyed by the Galra Empire?
They have the Galra Empire, technology.
The Galra Empire is basically predicated upon, let's be as evil as humanly possible, or as alienly possible. If there is joy anywhere, we will find it, stomp it out, take the remains, and make it fight for our amusement.
I have to bring this up, and I have to clarify, these aliens had nothing to do with humanity wiping itself out. That was entirely humanity's bad. That was entirely on us.
Yeah.
Another anime might go in, okay, this is why the main characters hate the aliens so much. They destroyed their homeworld, killed everyone they ever knew and loved. No, Golion decided to be brave and say humans killed themselves because they're stupid idiot jerks.
The Galra didn't show up until they had detected that humanity had wiped itself out and they went looking for remnants.
Pretty much. Which honestly makes me wonder if they're actually conquerors and more so vultures.
The fact that they have so many vultures in and around their castle does seem to be emblematic of them.
Okay, moving on from that back to the actual plot. Sorry for the diversion. Really, there's not a whole lot of plot here. There's some exposition about Golion. There's some exposition about the keys.
Some exposition about the princess.
Yeah, about the princess. And then, for some reason, the emperor, or the king, or he's a king of an empire. What the crap?
What, I'm getting Aragorn flashbacks. Let's move on before we have to think about that.
Yeah. Okay, King Emperor, he really, really, really hates humans, apparently, and he sends down his entire army to track down these 5 runaways.
And then when the 5 runaways don't find him fast enough, he sends one of the Black Death Beasts.
Pretty much, yes. It's kind of overkill.
Yes.
Just a little.
The orders cease to be, find the rebels, destroy anything that resists you, to torch the whole planet! Woo!
Also, the heroes get the lions, because they have keys and a teched out lab in them.
And then 4 of them fight the Black Death Beast, which has drill nipples, and are soundly beaten.
Yeah, they can't even scratch the thing.
So they need to find the 5th one, and there's a plot about getting the key. But since it involves the mice, we won't go into it.
Yeah. I will briefly mention, if you're familiar with Voltron, then you already know this, but for those who aren't, all the main characters are color-coded. All the lions are color-coded. The leader is red. You know, second in command is black. The little kid is green. You know, that's pretty obvious. No one pilots their color. No one. Everyone, I think everyone is colorblind in this universe.
Well, my theory, and we talked about this last night, is that, so like, let's say that aliens happen to have jumpsuits ready for you. You can't really argue about which color of jumpsuit you get. But I guess that they had really strong opinions about what color of robot they'd get. and they did tradesies.
I guess so. That or they just picked up the wrong keys and got whisked away to the wrong robots.
Yeah.
Because red is piloting black. I think black is piloting green. Blue is piloting red.
Either they're piloting the wrong colors for their jumpsuits, or they did an exceptionally poor job of showing us who's reacting to what robot being hit.
Pretty much. I have no idea which it is. I will be honest. You'd never see this sloppiness in Power Rangers.
Though you might in Super Sentai.
Yeah.
Well, incidentally, we went with the first 4 episodes this time, said the first 3, because it takes them a whole 4 episodes to actually have them get their giant robot.
Yeah. All the lions show up, they all get blown up, then they are fine, and then they form Voltron and kill the monster. That's the story.
Yeah, we didn't go into as much detail because we're trying to shorten this so that an actual human being would be interested in listening to it. This is a good one for shortening it because everything we didn't mention is kind of interesting as far as atmospheric purposes, but is largely filler.
Largely my foot. We just gave them the entire plot.
Like I said, some of it is interesting as far as building the world or building the atmosphere. Like building up the Galra home planet. Holy crap, that thing is a dark and dismal place. It made me want to see Voltron slash Golion smash their faces in.
Yeah, though there is one interesting thing I am going to bring up in part four. I would like you to remind me of that, Bobcat.
Okay.
But the rest of it, the filler is largely kind of useless for the plot purposes. Speaking of useless, the characters.
Point three.
I am the master of segues.
Yes, Napa, yes, you are. So,
Hate you.
each of the five characters has a name, but they also have a nickname. And the nicknames are much easier to remember than the actual names. So, this week we're just going to use their nicknames.
Frankly, they never use their real names. I think they used them once.
Aside from saying, my name's blah blah blah. And by the way, this was episode three when we learned any of their names outside of their nicknames.
We never get really introduced to these people. They just call each other different names, nicknames. Speaking of which, they are, in order of importance and least annoyingness, Quiet, Chief, Hothead, Moody, Space Mice, Princess, Butler, Random Villager, Nipples, the Black Death Beast, King, Emperor, Dude, Monocle Man,
Don't forget the Space Witch.
Space Witch, yes, Space Witch. In fact, she comes. No, she doesn't come before Monocle Man. The Space Witch's crystal ball, which I'm sure she had somewhere. We didn't see it, but it existed.
And her cat.
Her cat!
Who is psychic?
Who is psychic? And Shorty.
So let's just go with the more logical order. First, let's talk about Chief.
My order is entirely logical and filled with logic. Shut up. I hate you.
Chief is every Red Ranger ever.
Not all.
Okay.
No, no, no,
Okay,
no,
fine. I'm sorry, I shouldn't make
no.
sweeping generalizations with the Power Rangers fan around. Chief is a
Chief is.
prototypical Red Ranger type in these types of shows.
No. Chief is even more generic than that. Chief is your generic anime action hero leader, dude.
He makes Cyclops from X-Men seem excited and
Like a deep character that has more facets than just jerk. He is extremely one note. He is. I'm inspirational!
I'm giving orders.
I'm brave. I'm not backing down. I'm retarded because I keep doing the same things that get me injured, time after time, when fighting Nipples, the Black Death Beast. Yeah. Moving on! Quiet! He is.
Quiet.
Yeah, he's just sort of there. He wears black. He's stoic. Honestly, my favorite character. He talks the least.
Hence his nickname. However, aside from that, he's kind of interchangeable with Moody.
Moody! Moody, 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 moody.
Was Moody ever really all that moody?
No!
I think he might have said like one depressed thing, which, when you come home from a space mission and Earth has been destroyed, and then you're kidnapped by aliens, and your prospects are death or being turned into a hell beast. I think you'd have a right to be moody. Only in an 80s style shonen show would anyone say, "You can't be moody, you have to be fired up."
Yeah, though I think Bobcat is kind of overstating the fired upness of the core team. Still.
All I'm saying is that only in an 80s shonen anime would a character like this be called the moody one.
Moving on from Moody, we come to Hothead, who, frankly, he's not all that hotheaded.
Yeah, he's the fat one.
Yeah, he's kind of fat. That's his superpower. He's fat.
He also is kind of cowardly, like he's deathly afraid of heights. If someone has to be afraid of something, it's him. Which, although he does have a tendency to fly off the handle a little bit, just not especially notably.
Kinda. He's mostly just fat. I think he's supposed to be super strong, but honestly, I didn't really notice. Every single bit of his super strength could also be just gravity pulling him back down. Quite frankly.
He's honestly my favorite character of the bunch. He has the most personality.
Yeah, but he's actually afraid of things. Unlike Shorty.
Shorty's like a melody in my
hate
head.
You. Shorty is very short. I don't know if he's a midget. I don't know if he's a little kid. I know that he's Spider-Man, somehow. He can leap around like a jumping bean on a rabbit in a blender on a frog. I'm going to stick with this.
There's an analogy in there somewhere.
He jumps a lot. Also, he nearly takes out an entire army by himself.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. Like, he just grabbed a blaster and said, "You guys can stay around if you like. I'm going to go fight that army." And then they just let him go.
Pretty much. It's not even a good blaster either. This is like this little rink-a-dink, like, pistol thing. Laser pistol.
At best, it's like Han Solo's blaster.
If he was lucky and God smiled upon him, yes. And yet, he's still kicking the crap out of an army. I think I see now why the king sent an entire army after 5 runaways. Though, Captain Monocle Man, he deserved a better chance. We'll get to... Well, actually, I guess we won't. None of the villains matter. None of them have characters.
The 3 villains are basically... They're the villains. They want to have power. They want to conquer the universe. They want to enjoy watching slaves be killed in one-sided fights with Black Death beasts.
Yeah.
The Space Witch has the closest to a personality because she seems to like her cat. Because she's constantly petting him.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, she has a different voice. Captain Monocle Man has a monocle. So that's a thing.
You get the impression that even though he's the King Emperor's right-hand man, he's sort of resentful of the king and wants to show up the king by doing the work without the help of the Black Death Beast. He has pride, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. He's a very prideful man. That's why he wears a monocle. That's why he's Captain Monocle Man. King Emperor King. He wears a crown. He smiles. He gets bored. He likes to watch people get eaten. He's a pretty cool dude. Now a princess.
Yes, Princess Fala. She's possibly the most developed character in the show. because she has an actual motivation. Like, she dresses in pink. She has blonde hair, so she kind of has a Princess Peach vibe going with her. And yet, she is, like, consumed by the desire for revenge against the aliens who destroyed her planet to try and get Voltron.
Yeah, I will note, she has the burning desire for revenge against the aliens that destroyed her home planet. The main characters, however, have a very strong indifference about the fact that their home planet destroyed itself.
Yeah, that was on Tuesday. It's Thursday now.
Yeah, it's not important. Anyways.
Well, it occurs to me, maybe they hated Earth and that's why they volunteered to go out into space.
Maybe. I think that's all the important... Well, there's Golion. Golion is insane and likes to try to kill God. Moving on.
But one thing I'll note about Golion is that we don't get any evidence that he still has a personality anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because he was like a giant robot who had come from mysterious origins, slaughtered monsters across the universe, then challenged the great goddess of space, and she just bitch-slapped him, and he was...
Lobotomized him.
He was split into 5 lions. And now those 5 lions can be piloted by people. So I think him as a character is gone.
Yeah. I had to make mention of it, though, because he tried to kill God. Who does that? Point 4!
Presentation. Now, this is our first 80s anime. And
it is old.
Boy. The budget probably wouldn't buy you a round-trip ticket from Tokyo to New York these days.
Pretty much. In fact, it's so old, Bobcat is almost as old as it. That's how old it is, people.
It's that special time of anime where the budgets were shoestring. At best.
Yeah.
They reuse animation all over the place. We mentioned earlier that when Shorty decides to go off to fight the alien army all by himself, he was kind of floating around. Like he
was flying.
He was supposed to be jumping, but it's like they couldn't animate the jump properly when he was moving around. So he was floating in the air.
I prefer to say that he was flying, thank you.
Anyway, what I'll say is that I have seen worse from this era.
And honestly, there are moments, like at the very beginning, with Golion fighting all those monsters and God, the animation looks really nice and really fluid. It's just not all that solid.
They portion out their budgets to the moments where they think is important.
It's kind of like Baka and Test, only not as stupid. And stretched out over 50 plus episodes.
Right. Music. I love the theme song in this one.
Yeah, it's a pretty good theme song.
For my money, the only proper genre for a giant robot, the only proper musical genre for a super giant robot show is 70s/80s style disco.
Oh, that would explain the amazing theme song that Super Robot Red Baron has.
Haven't seen that one, but we may review it.
You have.
Okay, I don't remember it at all.
Anyways, yes, the music is pretty good. The music throughout the episodes stalk a little bit, but it's over 20 years old. In fact, it's nearing 30.
Yeah, you can forgive a lot for that.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I didn't actually give my thoughts on animation. Bobcat's trying to rush this. I liked the animation. As long as you know what to expect. This is from the 80s. And it was made on a TV budget. Not an OVA budget. A TV budget.
Possibly rather small TV budget.
Yes. Minuscule. As long as you know what to expect, this animation is fine.
Yep.
And very bloody, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, this is not a kid show, even though it's a kid show. Wrap your head around that one.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that someone's going to rip someone else's arm off, beat them to the ground with a severed limb, and then slit their throat.
Spoiler alert, that's episode 5. The princess doesn't like how the butler made her tea.
Pretty much. Are we joking, or am I making an obscure Ultra 7 reference? You decide. Moving on. Voice acting. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't have any particular comments on it.
1980s anime voice acting. It's pretty good.
Yep.
All the voices fit the characters. None of them were all that grating. Including Shorty, shockingly enough.
Yeah, I mean, he was sort of annoying as a character, but you couldn't really fault his voice actress.
Yeah.
I do mean actress.
I know. It's not shocking. Goku as a voice actress.
I know. This is clarification for the people at home.
If the people at home are surprised that a little boy character has a female voice actress, then honestly, I need to come and slap them really, really hard.
I just like to be as clear as possible. So
I do not.
So is there anything else under presentation that really stuck out to you?
Not really. It's got some poor writing, but really, that's just a part of the medium.
Well,
shows were written differently back then.
Right, like you have constant narration to explain things that they could be showing or things that they are showing.
Yeah.
Like to explain it to the 6-year-old watching it. And the pacing is kind of shoddy because with their minuscule budget, they couldn't afford to animate robot fights all the time.
Yeah.
So they had to go to filler instead.
Honestly, though, I think that would have improved the show a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's good. The writing is flawed, but it's not flawed because of anything that they could have helped. It's flawed because of when it was made.
When it was made, who it was made for.
Yeah. As long as you keep that in mind, this is a pretty fun show. But that is getting into point number 5, Master of Segway.
Final thoughts.
Actually, I just gave my final thoughts. It's a pretty fun show. Flawed. But as long as you expect what it is, I'll form the head of excitement.
Aside from the absolute shock of the tone of the first two episodes, the show was starting to lose me a little bit. I don't think you could necessarily marathon this show.
No.
But it's certainly an interesting show that shows some ambition. It isn't always sensible ambition. Like, why was Golion a sentient being thousands of years in the past? If you're not going to have him be a sentient being in the present, why have Earth be destroyed at all? The only plot reason I can think of for that would be so that the humans aren't tempted to leave the alien planet at any point. But according to episode summaries I looked at of the later episodes, they actually do go back to Earth at one point.
They'd still completely destroyed.
Yes. You feel like they had a bunch of ideas. They didn't have an editor to say, okay, guys, does this make sense? Does that make sense? But I agree with Burke. This is a fun ride. I mean, if you've never tried this sort of 80s-style giant robot show, this would actually be a pretty decent one to start with, if only because it has that American connection.
Yeah. Speaking of that American connection, 3 for 3! Special point number 6! Comparison.
Oh, God. So, one thing I love about the current age of media is that I went looking for it on YouTube, the original Voltron, and the people who own the license have it up to view for free.
It's also on Netflix, for the record.
So, watching it, after watching the first 3 episodes of Go Lion, was hilarious.
Before we get into the censorship, I want to comment on something. Half of the episode, half of Voltron, never happened in Go Lion.
Yeah, they took footage from something else. It almost looked like Macross or like old school Gundam.
I don't know what it is. It has a very similar art style. It was clearly made by hopefully the same company. Otherwise, there was a company that was really aping on Go Lion's style. But half the episode did not come from Go Lion. Why?
Because of censorship. And you know what? I don't necessarily like censorship usually, but I can understand this censorship. I don't care what country you're from. 6-year-olds should not be watching half of what was in the first episode.
No. No. No.
I mean, what they did was they took out everything about Earth being destroyed. The 5 human pilots now work for the Human Alliance, like the Galactic Alliance or whatever, and they went to the alien planet where the pieces of Voltron were on a mission, and all of the destroyed shots of Earth were, oh no, we got here too late to help them.
But they're still alive, and they're going to rebuild, and we're going to help them rebuild.
They're in their underground bomb
shelters. They're not dead.
Nope, no one's dead here. Nope, doesn't matter how bombed out the city looks.
No one's dead. No.
And they threw in lots of shots of generals sitting around talking to be the Galactic Alliance.
Yeah. Yeah. Including one scene where they gave them orders. Well, then they get captured by slaves. Slavers. Oh, darn you, Bobcat. Okay, I'm going to throw this in here. It should have gone in point 4. He forgot to remind me. One thing I did like about the animation, they actually thought to include female versions of the evil alien. And they gave one of them a just neat little background scene where she hugged onto, I guess, her husband at the Gladiator Games.
I thought that was an interesting moment, too.
It actually kind of tells a lot about their culture. That she was dressed really fancy. In fact, most of them were. So, honestly, it kind of is a modern Rome that just went further.
Right. You know, honestly, like I said before, one of the strengths of the show was the atmosphere. And even in Chopped Up in Voltron, to bring it back to point 6, you got hints of that
atmosphere. Yes, because she was still there.
She was still there. They still had little glimpses of the fight against between the gladiators and the Black Death Beast. Though, spoiler alert, they showed about 10 seconds worth when that fight scene actually went on for about 2 whole minutes.
Yeah, no one got eaten. There was no bloodshed. I think we saw a few corpses lying around, but I'm sure they would have said something about, oh no, those guys collapsed out of exhaustion.
Oh no, it's nap time in the arena.
Oh no.
But anyway, Voltron is very amusing to watch after watching Go Lion.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could watch Voltron. I will touch briefly on the voice acting. The voice acting, A, for the witch villain, is spot on. They sound almost exactly the same, only one is speaking in English, one is speaking in Japanese. But the voice acting for the others is hit or miss. With Shorty,
Shorty sounds like this!
Shorty is a I want to make some kind of child abuse joke, while also a joke about an asteroid trying to hit the Earth, but hitting Mars instead, and I just... Shorty's voice is terrible.
Yeah. When I said that I tried to watch Voltron years later and the voice acting was terrible, that's who I was talking about.
Yep.
Although I do like the voice they got for Hothead.
He actually fit. Most of them fit to a degree, though. I don't know why, but they decided to go Star Trek on us and gave everyone funny accents.
I guess because they're supposed to be an international team or something?
Maybe. I don't know. It's just kind of confusing and doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
So, my recommendation for Voltron is, if you have nostalgia, it'll be better than if you don't. If you don't have nostalgia, watch through the first episode and meditate on the fact that the first generation of American anime fans had nothing to go on except for things like that. And appreciate the age you live in.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to wrap this up with just this comparison. Golion is Voltron's dark fanfic written by some immature person who is talented but still way too young to actually be doing this, that somehow came before the original.
Yeah, it seems like a 13-year-old version of what making something grim, gritty, and adult is like.
But you know what? It's a lot of fun. And with...
Yeah, it's goofy and campy.
And with that...
In its own dark, horrific way.
And with that, and Bobcat interrupting me constantly, I never interrupt him. Never. I shall form the head of goodbyes. Go away. I hate you all.